Come on, somebody. Life is worth living because he lives. Hey, if he's not alive, we're wasting our time here today. But he lives. Let's give him a round of applause. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 You guys can have a seat. Hey, just show some honor to our worship team today, if you would, please. And our sound and lights and screens, people in the back. Can we just show some honor to the back of the house today? They are. Don, help me out. I don't know if that's back of the house or front of the house. What is that back there?
Back.
That's back. Yeah, front. That's front. I don't know. But hey, Don and Ben and Jack's back there. Aubrey's back there. Whoever. Thank you guys so much. There's our staff, their kids teams. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have been preparing for today. Thank you guys for everything. God sees all of that and is honoring that. Come on, anybody sweating right now? Let's go. Just me. I must be the only overweight one in the house today then, and out of shape and what have you. Glad you're here today. Happy Easter. Crazy. You know, we tend to put that label crazy on people, situations, things that just don't make sense. Things that are hard for us to wrap our minds around sometimes, we throw that word out there, crazy, right? How many of you have ever been called crazy in your life before, right? I know Patsy Cline wasn't singing a song, crazy, I digress, right? But there are a lot of crazy things that people do. There are a lot of crazy situations that we experience. There are a lot of things that just don't make sense. Like this. Don't yay that. That, who ties a rubber band to their ankle and jumps off of a platform like that? You've done that? You're crazy. I tried to do it one time. There was a scale at the top of the platform. I stepped on the scale. Said, sir, I'm sorry, you weigh too much. Said, no, I'm big boned is what my mom always told me. Think I'm just right. I had to do the walk of shame back down front in front of everybody, right? Crazy. What about this? Yeah, I'm just going to go out for a Sunday fly. Not a drive. Honey, I'm just going to take the plane out. Just going to go drive through the tunnel there and I-70 in Colorado, you know. Just going to take it for a cruise at 250 miles an hour through a tunnel. That's crazy, right? Doesn't make sense. Now, what about this one? Hey, guys, you want to play around the golf today? No, let's just fly upside down through the air at 500 miles an hour. We can even hold hands for community. We can die together while we're... That's crazy to me. Why? I mean, listen, if you want to hang out with me, we can do other things. I mean, Ryan Shaley can cook some pork butt or something for us, and we can just eat around the table, right? Crazy. What about this one? Yeah, I'm just gonna hold my little camera and take pictures of something that can devour me. Tuna fish? Who? Has anybody ever done that? You guys? Praise God you're here. Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. He spared their life. There must be a greater calling and purpose for you guys. You're still here today. That's crazy. Who spends, listen, I know that when I'm hungry, a refrigerator door is not going to stop me or a piece of whatever. That's crazy. Doesn't make sense. Or even this one. Oh, yeah. The stratosphere. 150 flights up, maybe 80. I don't know. It's too far. Vegas. You're going to get in a little bumper car over the edge of a hotel and just... Hey, honey, let's take the kids out. Let's make it a family fun day. Let's just go threaten our kids' very lives. Who does that? You've done that. Crazy. And you paid to do that. That's even crazier, right? I mean, my goodness, I thought driving through I-10 during construction was crazy, but that's... Or what about something like this? Excuse me, sir, what are you doing out there? The officer's saying, just leave that up there for a second, Aubrey. Listen, you know, I don't have anything else to do, nothing good on TV, sir. I thought I'd just walk across New York City on a high wire. But I have my trusty little pole, like that's gonna help me. What does that do? You know, impel yourself when you've hit the ground? I don't know. I wonder what this officer's thinking. I mean, listen, the LEOs see a lot of stuff, but this might have to just top one of it, you know? Let's just go for a walk on a high wire today. Hey, here's the deal. People do crazy things. And probably if you're honest with yourself, in your lifetime, you probably have done some things that might have been labeled crazy, right? You've taken some risks. Some of you can relate to some of these images and videos that we have shown today. You guys are, man, you just went up to another level in my book, okay? I like to play it safe a lot of times. But people do crazy things. Things that don't make sense. Things you can't wrap your mind around. Things that just... Your life hangs in the balance in some of these situations, right? The bar on that shark cage breaks or is malfunctioned somehow, right? Your toast, your dinner. But yet we still are willing to take those types of risks. We'll put our life in danger. We'll pay big bucks for the thrill of something. Well, today... We're not going to sit here and just look at crazy videos and crazy things that people do. But today being Easter Sunday and in houses like this all across the world, there's a story that's being told that can seem crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to wrap our minds around. We are people that we have to see something in order to believe it, right? And most of us weren't there on this story that I'm going to read to you today. It's a story that maybe some of you are quite familiar with. You've heard time and time again. But when you think about it, it is really hard to wrap your mind around the Easter story, isn't it? It is hard to wrap your mind because you've heard how Jesus died. We know what he went through on the cross. No one survives it. I mean, it is death. But what makes this story so crazy is not that he died or how he died, even though it's awful. But what makes it crazy is that a dead man came back to life and started walking around and revealing himself to people. Now listen, I don't know if you've had loved ones pass. I don't know if you've ever had one of them come back and just say, "Hey, I'm back." Most of us have probably never experienced it. Probably safe for us to say that none of us have, right? I know there are books and speakers and things that say, "I spent 90 minutes in heaven" and all that. That's crazy stuff to me because we can't figure something out that just doesn't make sense. You know, the story that I want to read to you today, if you guys are okay with that, it's just crazy to some of us. Listen, I'm going to read today from the book of John. It's recorded in other parts of the Bible, but I've chosen John's version of it today to read to you this crazy story about a dead man that comes back to life and makes his appearance and makes himself known to other people. Verse 1 of John chapter 20 says, "Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, 'Peter, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb, and they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped in and he looked in and he saw those linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, it says, arrived, and he went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. And while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart, from the other wrappings. Come on, somebody. My Jesus is a gentleman. He makes his bed. He makes his bed and going to leave it in the same way he found it. Well, he didn't find it that way, but you know what I'm saying, right? He's a gentleman. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw, and what does it say? He believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And it says, then they turn and they go back home. Mary's still standing there, though, it says. Mary's standing outside the tomb and she's crying. And as she wept, she stooped in and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels. That'd be pretty crazy right there, right? She looked in and saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. It's because they've taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. These next words are written in red in my Bible, so who said it? Jesus. Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and she cried out, Rabboni, which in Hebrew means teacher. She recognized the voice. She knew the voice of Jesus. It didn't make sense to her that he would be there physically standing in front of her, but the voice she knew. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene, it says, found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And she gave them his message. I think every one of us listening here today believe that there is something besides the physical that exists in the world. And maybe you go to church and you've been taught about faith and you've heard stories like this, and you believe that there is more than just what we can see physically here on earth. Maybe you're into the outdoors and through creation. By the way, anybody see the double rainbow just a couple of days ago? Aren't we thankful for rain here on this parched land, right? But for some people, when they look at creation and the wonder and amazement of it all, it just takes them to another level besides the physical things. They believe that something exists. Maybe you meditate and that takes you to another level. Maybe you're into the arts, and when you look at art, it helps you understand that there's more than what we can just see and experience while we're here. There's something that exists beyond the physical. Most of us believe in something like that. Right or wrong, you believe that there's more to just what we see, touch, feel, and can experience that's physical. Well, in this thing called the Christian faith, the whole premise of the Christian faith is based around physical bodies, because we believe in the Christian faith that bodies, much like we just read in this story today, one day are going to be raised again. Now, that's kind of crazy, is it not? But it's true. We believe that one day, and I am so thankful and looking forward to that day. Amen. Brad Pitt doesn't stand a chance, and that glorified body will sing on pitch and on cue. It'll be awesome, right? Six-pack abs, no more Ozempic shots to lose weight and feel great. I mean, we're going to be glorified is what Scripture says. We believe as Christians that just as Christ was buried 6 feet, well, he wasn't buried, he was buried in a grave, you know what I'm saying? But for most of us, we're going to be buried 6 feet under. And we believe that for those of us who are in Christ, because Jesus lives and rose from the grave, that is our destiny as well for those who are in the faith. Am I talking to anybody right now? We believe in that resurrected body of Jesus Christ. But what if this wasn't true? I told you, and I was just, this is a crazy story. Well, what if this is all just made up? Well, what if this is just some story that's, hey, let's just keep people because they are going to have a propensity to be down and dejected and discouraged in life. And let's just give them something to hang on to, you know? Let's just give them some sort of little hope. It may be false, but let's just give them hope. Well, I'm glad you asked that because it's normal. This is a crazy story. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, especially when we know how he died and especially when we know the precautions that they took to make sure that Jesus stayed dead. I love what Brian said just a few moments ago. The stone wasn't rolled away so that they could get in. It was so that he could get out. It was rolled away so that we could get in and see. Listen, the gospel writers are not calling us today, and the Bible's not written calling you to take just some sort of a blind step of faith without any evidence. We are people that like evidence, right? We know that in a court of law, are there any attorneys in the house today? Please see me afterwards. Leave me your number. I might need you at some point. I got the four down, but I need some other people as well, okay? But we know that in a court of law, an attorney's case is oftentimes validated or verified if there is an eyewitness. If there is someone that can give a testimony or give an accurate depiction of what took place. Oftentimes in a court of law, that goes a long way and has oftentimes it seals the deal for whoever provides and produces that witness. But what if this isn't true? I love that the writers of the gospel say, hey, listen, in fact, in Luke, and very early on in the first chapter of Luke, he says, listen, I'm writing these things to you, these things that you're about to read in the rest of my letter that I'm writing this book called Luke. Listen, I want you to know that you can, with certainty, that these things happened. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He interviewed people. He talked to people. He heard stories. He even maybe witnessed some of these things, right? But he's recording these things, and he wants us to know with certainty. Paul would say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, maybe that's a reading assignment for you this week. There's like 50-something verses. You're going to have to read that on your leisure. But Paul would begin to lay out some things in 1 Corinthians 15 that would validate and verify that the resurrection literally took place. It's crazy, I know, but it's hard to wrap our minds around it. Paul would say, hey, listen, just want to remind you that the Old Testament prophets wrote about some of these things hundreds and hundreds of years ago before they ever came true. And Jesus checked the box off of every one of those things they said. Validated. Something spoken, this is going to happen, and boom, it happened, right? Woo! He also said, hey, listen, if that's not enough, you need to know that there was on one occasion where 500 people are gathered and a resurrected Jesus shows up and makes his presence known. Over 500 people saw him at one time. Now, we know that there were other people that saw him. The apostles saw him besides that time. We know that it wasn't just physical appearances sometimes. There were other things that did. But Paul's saying, listen, over about 516 people, we find names are recorded in Scripture that saw him. Again, in a court of law, one witness is enough, maybe two. But can you imagine 516 people sharing a similar story? Wow. Paul would say, okay, if fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets spoke of, and I just want to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you my story. Come on, somebody knows your story is the best story, right? When you tell somebody, I can tell you what Jesus has done for me, no one can argue with that. They may not believe it. They may call you crazy, but I'm telling you, it's your story. Paul said, hey, listen, here's the deal. You need to know something about Paul. Before he became an author in the Bible and wrote things in Scripture, listen, Paul was a hater of Christians. He was a persecutor of the church. His sole mission was to put an end to stories like we read today. He wasn't going to have any of that because it's crazy. But Paul would say, listen, you need to understand something. I'm a different man today. I've been changed and transformed because I too saw a resurrected Jesus. And he changed my life. And instead of me persecuting and destroying Christians for what they believe, hey, check this out. I am now one of them because I have seen and I believe. Wow. Listen, I love that the Bible knows that you and I, even today, are people that want to see evidence. We want to see. You remember when your mom said, hey, listen, if on this stove something is red and glowing, do not touch it because it will burn you. It's hot. How many of your moms told you that before? You heard something similar to that? And how many of you still put your hand on it to test it out, right? You wanted proof, right? Yeah, yeah. Some of us still bear the scars of that, right? Right? I'm glad that the Bible gives us evidences and gives us things. But Paul would say, listen, in 1 Corinthians 15, he would say this, if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and the resurrection because they're already in the graves. But if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is, Paul says, that Christ has been raised. He's the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave cemeteries. Come on, who else is going to leave a cemetery one day? Let me see your hand. Because you know that because Jesus rose from the grave, so can you. That's your purpose, right? And your destiny, right? Wow, no stone could hold him back. No grave could hold him down, right? Wow, I love that the Bible gives us evidence. Gives us evidence. And I think the challenge for us today is we've got to choose to believe whether or not it really did happen. Now listen, people on both sides of the fence would even tell you that this man Jesus was the real deal. Whether you're Jewish or whether you come from even Roman literature, they will verify that there was a man by the name of Jesus that lived in Palestine between the years of 10 AD and 40 BC. It is verified through historical documents that Jesus did indeed die on a Roman cross. And they verify and talk about how he died and that he definitely was dead. So what do we do with it? Are we going to believe, even though it sounds crazy, but I feel like I'm kind of in good company today because some of you guys have done some of the crazy things that we saw on the video screen. This ought to be easy for you then to believe that Jesus rose from the grave. But nevertheless, if I could real quickly share with you some evidences. Because the Bible wants us to know that there is proof to the story that we read in John 20. First of all, how do you explain the empty tomb? What's the evidence? Listen, the disciples were expecting a body that morning. They went back to the grave. Remember that Jesus died as Sabbath was about to begin, and so they had to hurriedly put him in a grave, and they hurriedly wrapped him with just some linen cloths and put him in the tomb of a man by the name of Joseph. And they put him in there. They did not have time to properly treat the body with the herbs, the spices, the things that would kind of their way of embalming back in the day. They hurriedly had to do that because of the rules of Sabbath. Okay? But that Sunday morning when Mary and the other women come back to the tomb, they're coming back prepared to finish the job. They want to finish the proper burial, much like we go to great lengths a lot of times to make sure that people get their proper burials and things. Listen, that's what they're doing. They weren't expecting for the stone to be moved. They weren't expecting for the tomb to be empty. You read it in John chapter 20. Mary was amazed. She couldn't believe it. And she went back and told the others, guys, you're not going to believe this. You have to come and see it. It's crazy. But they weren't expecting. The disciples were expecting to go and still find their Savior wrapped in the linen cloths that were wrapped around him when they took him off for the cross on that Friday. If their witness wasn't enough, how do you explain the Roman guards that were there that day? We know that there was talk that, hey, the followers of Jesus might do something. They may try to sneak in and try to steal his body. So let's do this. Let's roll a big stone in front of this grave and let's put the Roman seal on. It means that you better not jack with this. This is official Roman business here. And here's what we're going to do. If that's not enough, we're going to position guards in front of it as well. But we know that in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew would record that even those guards that day were awestruck that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 28 that they got with their Roman leaders and said, hey, listen, we got a problem here. Politico's going to catch wind of this. If Fox News gets this, we are done, bro. CNN, they're going to make it sound okay. But, you know, we got to be careful about, that's why I need an attorney right there for moments like that. You know what I'm saying? But y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, what are we going to do? So it even says in Matthew chapter 28 that the Roman leadership paid these guards off. Say, guys, listen, we need you to keep this quiet. Keep it on the DL. We're not going to talk about this because we don't know how the tomb is empty. Bottom line is this. There is evidence that validates that the tomb was empty that Sunday morning. Are you with me? We okay so far? What about the idea of these appearances that I talked about earlier? How do you explain those? How do you explain a resurrected Jesus showing up in the presence of 500 people at one time? How do you explain him walking on the road with two guys on their way to Emmaus one day? How do you explain him sitting down and how do you explain it when in the room with his disciples? There was one that wasn't there when Jesus originally showed up, but he shows up a little late to the party. You ever been late to the party and you've missed like the best part of it? And they try to like make up for you, but it's not the same. Well, Jesus did a good job here with Thomas. He said, Thomas, listen, it's Jesus. You guys are hallucinating. Who's been drinking the bad wine? I mean, it is extra fermented tonight, right? What is happening here? Hey, Thomas. Hey, see my hands? Thomas, come touch those nail prints. See through, sunlight shining through. Come on, you've seen The Chosen. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the wound in my side. Thomas, just come and put your hand in it. Some of these appearances, Jesus actually sat down and had dinner with people. Come on, talk about awkward dinner conversation. We saw you die. We know you were buried in the grave, and now we're eating falafel together? That's awkward. But we know that Jesus fed them. He ate with them. These appearances are evidence that this is not just some these people had these real encounters with, he talked to them, right? He cooked them breakfast. A resurrected Jesus. Or how would you explain this thing called the church? I mean, I think the church today is evidence that the resurrection took place. Listen, if this wouldn't have happened, what was it then in those people that instead of them fearing for their very lives, thinking that they may be the next one that hung on a cross? What was it in them that, why would they flip and all of a sudden say, hey, you know what? We don't care. We're going to continue to tell and preach and speak about a resurrected Jesus. We've seen him. Hey, how could those that had despair on Friday, now on Sunday, what filled them with hope? Because they saw Jesus, right? How could someone who it doesn't make sense, but man, I'm telling you, if they had not the proof, if he had not talked with them, if he had not shared meals with them, if they hadn't been able to touch him, wow, this thing called the church wouldn't be present today. Those people would be in hiding somewhere, but we know that that wasn't the case. A resurrected Jesus changed their lives. We can read stories through historical documents that many of them died martyrs' deaths because of their faith. A resurrected Jesus, there's no more story. There's no reason for us to gather here today. There's no Easter. And oh, by the way, this is not some myth that we're trying to embellish today. This really happened. Do you believe it? Yes. Empty tomb. All these appearances. 516 people we know of that saw. They tell their stories. And they all match up. I'm telling you, in a court of law, Woo! That would be confirmation, would it not? Wow. This thing called the church, if this was a farce, none of us would be here. We wouldn't, but we believe it because there's evidence of it. So then why don't we believe more? Why don't more people believe in what I'm laying out for you today? I think there are many reasons why people choose to not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. You need to know, Jesus wants to believe in his resurrection. He wants us to believe that the life that he offers all of us is the best life out there. But why don't people believe? I think for one of the reasons, people don't want to change their lifestyle. Because they know that if I let Jesus come into my life, that he might change the my party lifestyle that I have. I might have to give up some of my possessions, or you know what, I might not be as popular and have as many people like me anymore, right? And I just know because I've read things and I've heard things that, you know, if you've got to die to yourself and you've got to give up things, and you know, it's hard to follow. And I just don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to give it up for that. And so a lot of people just stay in it. They say, great story for you guys. Easter Sunday, that's great. But you know what? I am not going to change. And so I'm not going to believe it. So some people don't want to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior because they don't want to be identified with Christians. Right? Hollywood's done a good job of portraying what Christians look like. They're nerdy. They're boring. They don't have any fun. Very few friends, and their friends are just like them, right? They're hate mongers. They're judgmental. And a lot of people don't want to be identified with Christians, and they don't want to receive Jesus and believe in this story because of that very thing, because they've seen Christians be hate mongers and nerdy, boring, and not any fun to be around, right? Hey, just because somebody plays Beethoven badly doesn't mean that Beethoven was a bad composer. And just because maybe you've seen some Christians poorly display what a Christian should look like, that doesn't mean that Jesus is wrong. In fact, let me just encourage you, you were never called to follow another Christian. You were called to follow Jesus Christ and his example. And so you weren't called to model or follow anybody else, but Jesus himself. Maybe for some of us, and some people reject this thing and give him the Heisman because we just have too much pride. We're too prideful, you know? I know it all. No one's going to tell me what to do. Come on, that's too much to believe in. Or hey, I'm not. Listen, I just for some of us, we know too much, or we think we do. And I'm going to tell you, there's some highly intellectual people that, because of their pride, are going to spend the rest of their life on earth not living their best life, and they'll spend an eternity in a place called hell, separated from God, because of pride. What? If I want to be strong, I've got to become weak? What do you mean, love others as I love myself? What do you mean I'm going to become a servant or a slave to people? I'm above that. I've got degrees. I have people answer to me. That's why I love in Scripture when Roman leaders would come to Jesus and say, hey, listen, I've got a sick house servant back home, but I believe you can heal them. Keep it on the DL, but do it. But some of us today, what's keeping us away from believing that Jesus is resurrected and alive today, and what's keeping us from receiving him into our life as Lord and Savior, is just because this thing called pride. Some of us need to get off that ride of pride and just believe that Jesus is. And there are still some, and I get it, you just don't want to believe it. I get it. You just don't want to believe. It's too big of a story. It's too crazy. Again, I am a seeing is a believing type person, but even that, you know what? I just don't have time for that. And you guys go and do your thing. I'm gonna do mine. I just choose not to believe. Man refuses to believe in God and the difference he can make in their life. Listen, there probably could be more, but I know that it's time for us to get to dinner reservations and things we've made today and egg hunts and all of that good stuff. But what is it in your life that's keeping you from believing the resurrection? Or maybe you believe, okay, I can handle that. I believe it, but I'm not gonna give myself to that. That's weak sauce, bro. I don't have anything to do with that. I'm better than that. I would just simply ask you this today. What do you have to lose? You see, what the craziest thing to me out of today and the Easter story is not how much some of the restaurants are charging us for food today. That's crazy. But the craziest thing for me today is this, that when history and the facts all line up and prove, even when those who were responsible for the death and made sure that nothing squirrely could happen through it all, even when you have witnesses and testimonies of people, and this room is filled with people that know what God is able to do in someone's life. Let me see your hands. You know that he's good, and you know that he transforms. You know that he changes people's lives, right? But despite all that, the craziest thing to me is that people still give him the Heisman and won't let Jesus come in and be Lord and Savior of their life. Listen, there's a verse in the book of John, chapter 10. Jesus says this, I have come in order that you may have life, life in all its fullness. Hey, do you understand that Jesus came to give you your best life? Jesus's plan with your life is not boredom. We make it that way. Jesus's idea of this thing, when we gather in a room like this, when the church gathers, hey, this ought to be alive and electric and fun, right? Right? I used to get whippings for talking in church. Anybody testify to that one? Come on, somebody. And bear the marks of church. By the way, I still have that belt that my daddy used to bust my tail. It's hanging in my closet today. That's awful. But we've been told, but listen, that's not the reason Jesus says, I've come. He said, I want you to have the best life you could ever have. Listen, when Jesus says, I've come to give you life, what that means is there's a chance for you today to have all your wrong that you've committed in the past forgiven and the slate wiped clean. Anybody need some of that? Aren't you thankful that there's not some ledger up in heaven someday and God said, I remember that one. Stole bubble gum. You remember when bubble gum cost 2 pennies? Or even 1 penny? The Ford gumball machines in the barbershop? Come on, somebody, those rounded globes? Wow. I've taken a few of those over my lifetime. Not recently, but when I was younger, right? I remember biting people. Again, not recently, but that Mike Tyson moment, you know what I'm saying? But I don't recommend biting. It's not something God would have you do, right? There are better ways to communicate and get your point across. But throwing eggs at cars passing by, even at houses. Don't be looking at me like I'm bad. I'm talking to some of you too right now, right? Again, I've not done this recently, okay? It's been a few years, but I've said things about people that hurt them. I've had improper thoughts about things that I shouldn't have. There's been anger that's been displayed inappropriately. Am I talking to anybody right now? Come on. Those are things that I'm not proud of. But those are the very things when Jesus says, hey, listen, Jason, I want you to understand something. I know those things and I see those things, but I want you to know something. If you'll let me, I want to wipe that slate clean and not hold that against you. I don't want to judge you, and I don't want to base how I treat you based on those things. I could, but I'm not going to. That's the lie. When somebody says they've been born again, that means that Jesus has given them a fresh start. Has anybody had a fresh start in life because of Jesus? Aren't you thankful for that? He says, I've come to give you an abundant life. Listen, there is more to your life than just showing up day in and day out and punching a clock. There's more in this life for you than just the accumulation of stuff. Now listen, a job and having things, they're good too. And listen, here's the deal. I believe that when you do things God's way, He wants to bless you. That's crazy. I do believe that. I do believe that when I honor God and give and do what He calls me to do, He's going to rain down blessing upon blessing more than I can even contain. I think that's what Scripture says, something like that, right? But there's more. There's a purpose for your life, Jesus says. There's a calling. There's something for you to accomplish. Not just punch a clock. Not just to raise 2.4 kids. What does the 0.4 look like? You know? There's more to it than be successful. Oh, and he says, listen, this life is not only slate wiped clean, it's not only life abundant, but it's life eternal as well. Remember, we've been talking and singing a lot about today about dead bodies coming back to life. You see, that's exactly for those who say yes to Jesus. That is exactly what you can count on in the future. And the reality is we're all going to die. We all have that in common. Unless something freaky happens next Monday during the eclipse. And by the way, shame on all those people that spent billions. It's going to be cloudy and rainy. Sorry. Hopefully you've already gotten your money because you rented your house out to somebody. Amen. Let's go. Cha-ching. We made $1 million renting out 20 acres here at 1910. No, just kidding. We didn't do that. But sorry. Isn't that a bad idea? Why didn't we think about that? Okay, sorry. Just help me, Lord. Focus. Brian's giving me the music. That means shut up. Let's go. But life eternal. See, the reality is, your physical life will fade away, and we will all become dust. But the reality is, you got to determine what happens and if you believe in an afterlife. Again, I said it earlier, if there's nothing, if this story is a farce, if it's a fraud and doesn't make sense, if there's no possible way for me to be forgiven, and if I just breathe my last breath at 74 point whatever it is now, so be it. I have nothing to lose. But I tell you, I've had a great lifetime and I've had a lot of fun these 53 years. It hasn't always been easy and perfect. But I'm telling you, despite that, I've had a friend that sticks closer than a brother and a joy that the happenings in my life cannot put out. It's been hard. It's been difficult. It's been painful. But I still am grateful that I'm alive today. But it's going to end. And I'm going to spend, because I believe and our Christian faith is around this, the afterlife somewhere. Heaven, which was made for people. Hell, which wasn't made for people. You know that, right? God never sends anyone to hell. People send themselves there for receiving to receive this free gift of life that He's offering here in John 10:10. But hell wasn't created for people. It was created for Satan and his followers. That's never been God's plan for your life. How do I become a Christian then, Jason? I'm glad you asked that. Because the Bible gives us a couple of things that we must do. And by the way, we're honored you're here today, but you come today doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't. But I love these words that, well, probably a lawyer went to Jesus in John chapter 3 and says, hey, what must a man do to be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb and come back out again? You guys know that's impossible. That would really be crazy. There are no videos for that, okay? Praise God. This is a family program. But how can a man be born again? He's talking about not physical birth. He's talking about spiritual birth. And listen to what he says in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so how do I become a Christian? Well, first of all, you've got to believe, as it says there in John 3:16. You've got to believe. Whoever believes in him. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not enough for me just to believe it. I've got to declare it. It's not enough for me just to believe in the story, but I've got to declare, hey, Jesus, listen, I'm a sinner, and I've got a lot of stuff in my life, and I need someone to help me. I need someone to make it right. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you're the only way that I can be born again, made new, given a fresh start, a clean slate. I believe that there's more than this life that I'm currently living. I believe that there's more that you have for me, life over the top, off the chain. And I want that. Jesus, will you come into my life today and be Lord? I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you rose again on the third day. And because you are alive, wow, praise God, I have the potential to live also. I ask you a question today. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Have you ever been that honest and open with Jesus? Have you ever asked him to come in and be Lord and Savior of your life? It's crazy to me why people don't. There's no charge. It's paid. The price is paid in full. When Jesus prayed on the cross, it is finished. Three last words, it is finished. It's done. There's nothing you have to do except believe and declare. Are you willing to do that today? I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you don't mind. And if you just close your eyes and just continue, let the Spirit of the Lord work in this moment. Just continue to let God speak to you right now, because I believe that there's someone listening today in the house and online that, well, you need Jesus. You've never truly have believed or declared. You've never truly asked him to come in and save you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you are here today would say, you know what, Jason? Today's the day that I want to give my life to Christ. I see the evidence. I've made excuses far too long, but today's the day that I want to believe that he is who he says he is. And today's the day that I want to ask him to come into my life and save me. No one's looking, just me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? You've never done that before, but today's the day. I see that, okay? I see that. Thank you. Here. Yeah. Someone else. Today's the day that I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender. Thank you. I see that one over there. Thank you. There have been hands all over this room today. Now I want to ask you to do something big, because I want to help you understand a little bit more about what you're saying today. 30 minutes of me talking up here is not enough. I've got something I want to give you, something I want to help you with that's going to help you as you begin to pursue. But I want everybody to pray this prayer with me, whether you've prayed it or not. Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood that washes away my sins. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried in the grave. And I believe you rose from that grave on the third day. Jesus, I need you. I need you to save me, and I want you to be Lord of my life. Today, Lord, come into my life, forgive me my sins, save me, and make me yours. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. If you prayed that prayer and you mean it for the very first time, I want you to come down and join me down front today, okay? Just come on. I saw the hands. If you want to take that step today, I want to ask you to come join me. I'm just going to stand right here for a few minutes. Come on. All right. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. You're not alone. You're not alone. There are others here today. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Best decision you'll ever make today. Amen. I want you to know that people are looking at y'all right now and they're breaking the rules because I told them to keep their eyes closed, but that's okay. We're going to have a time of confession afterwards because they broke the rules. But now I want you to look at these people. I think this is okay because I want you to see something here. There's no judgment or condemnation coming from this side of the room, is there? But a lot of these people have been exactly where you're at. And they've made the decision that you've made today. I want you to go and look at these faces. There's love and there's acceptance right here in this house, is there not? Because we all are in need of a Savior. And I want you to know something today. You've made the most important decision you'll ever make. Because today your life changes. You'll never be the same. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're never going to be the same. The Bible says this, that those who are in Christ are new creations. And so you walked onto this campus one way, but you're leaving differently. Amen. This very moment, Jesus, the second I started talking,
has been everything I've been saying this whole time.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. No one's ever said it to you before.
Especially the crazy thing.
The crazy thing.
It's only crazy if somebody can't understand it, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I think you're ready to preach.
I think she is.
A couple of weeks. I'll give you 2 week notice, okay? That's good.
Lived a really long life in a short amount of time.
Lived a really long life in a short amount of time. Wow. I'm telling you, today's a new day for you. How you saw yourself or what other people spoke over you is no longer who you are. You know who you are? You're a daughter of the King. You're an heir to the throne. You're a saint. You're forgiven. You're a new creation right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody. I think y'all can yell a little bit louder than that. Hey, I'm going to ask y'all to do something for me real quick. I'm going to ask you to go, Pastor Angie, because I'm going to give you something today, okay? We have Lamborghinis out in the parking lot for y'all today, so.
I don't know how to.
Just kidding. No, don't know. Yeah, there's no but. Hey, I want y'all to go this direction. And some of my friends want to help you guys. If you're a family member or want to go with them, feel free to come. I don't want you. There's no weird juju going on. But can we just celebrate right now what God is doing in this house? Come on. Hey, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came today? Hey, so listen, here's the deal. Some of you may be a little timid to make that walk, okay? There's no shame in that, but here's the deal. I want to ask my ministry team to go ahead and come up today and join me down front, okay? Ministry team, go ahead. I know y'all are saved. Go ahead and come on. It's okay. But I want to encourage you today. We stand down front every Sunday ready to pray and encourage people. Some of you today have some big hurts and pains and struggles in life. And hey, listen, that's normal. You're not crazy because of that. You're not weird because we all go through it, right? But that's why our team stands down front every week to just pray and come alongside of you. We'd be honored to do that. So let your family go, you know, pick up kids and grab a cup of coffee and get the car cooled down for you and all that. But you come as people are leaving and let us just minister with you and to you, okay? But I'm glad you came today. And for those of you that for whatever reason still have not said yes to Jesus, my friend, come on. I want to encourage you today not to be afraid of that and to give him your life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that it means that those of us who have been walking around as dead, Lord, there is a new life available. There's a resurrection that can happen in us today. Lord, we celebrate those today that have said yes to Jesus. And Lord, today marks a new beginning. Father, I pray that we as a church family would surround them, God, and encourage them in their pursuit of you, Jesus. But God, that's my prayer for everyone here. Lord, just as Mary knew the voice of Jesus. Lord, my prayer is that we would be so close to you that we would know your voice as well. Even though it doesn't make sense, we're so close and intimate with you, Father, that we know your voice. And Lord, I pray as we leave this house today, we go in confidence knowing that our God lives. He's alive. He's for us. He's not against us. May we remember your words to be strong and courageous and not be afraid. God, may we trust in you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you say you will make our path straight. God, may we know that there is nothing that could ever separate us from your love. God, may we be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Everyone in this house said, amen. Happy Easter. You're dismissed.